the one you love, the one you shouldn't hurt at all. You are.
And in this third hour, see, here I am. I'm going to start off with the same lines and continue where it takes me and where it takes you. I'm Roy Masters, and I want to talk to you about the power of deception. It's easy to deceive people. It's easy to mesmerize them. It's easy to take your mind over. Easy to make you mentally ill, sick. It's easy, in a sense, to control a whole nation. You only have to look at Hitler Germany. And within 13, 14 years, he had everybody eating out of his hands. Either you're a vicious fascist, or you're someone afraid to speak up, even though you feel the smelling, the sense of burning bodies in the crematoriums. See, there's mass hypnosis. You, ladies and gentlemen, are not free. If you drink, you're not free. If you take drugs, you're not free. If you're a sex pervert, excuse the expression, if you're addicted to sex, you're not free. If you're addicted to fruit, you're not free. As the only thing you're free from is the knowledge that you're not free. Because you do, you have plenty in this country, and plentiness is what gives you the idea to be free, to enjoy all these pleasures. And I can't find a special word. A special word that, so that it alters my delivery of what I want to tell you. So gratification is the word I was looking for. What we need to do is, I'm sitting here talking with you. I can afford a new suit. I can afford a new car. And one of the reasons is not because of donations, but when I was getting a paycheck. I've been with the foundation 55 years. I started it, so I didn't get a big paycheck. But whatever I did, I delayed gratification, and I saved more money, and I put a down payment on a house and rented it and made it pay for itself until I had 12 houses or 12 units. I don't need to have a salary from the foundation, do I? No. I don't get one because we don't have enough money. if I wanted one, there wouldn't be enough money. But that's what I'm saying. It's getting more difficult in this country to be honest. And it's becoming more fashionable to be phony, to be pretty, to appear in certain ways. But the truth is, the gratifications, the tendency for it to spoil your children and not delay gratification as I did when I was a kid. I had $1 a week. $1 a week was not much in the form of dollar. And so therefore, I looked at a penny or equivalent to 5 cents or something. And I said, oh, no, I don't need that candy bar. I didn't need this. I did. After a while, I found I could need. I didn't have the good suit. I wear secondhand suits with hand-me-down things like that. So I wasn't poor. I was rich in my heart. So I felt rich in my heart for not. So I didn't have a nice suit. I didn't have anything like I have today, because I withheld gratification. I don't have gratification now. I have nice things, and most of the things in my house are secondhand. My cars, I've got a couple of cars, several cars that are all secondhand. I can make a profit on every one of them. And two of them, I got, one was given to me and one inherited. See, that's it. I have very little needs. I'm content with what I have. I was content with a dollar. But I couldn't be content with the dollar now that I have family. and the wife and things like that, but I'm content in a, you know, an extended way. I'm still content, not waste money, not buy a new shirt, not buy... I wear suits 40 years old. You can... I don't know if you can tell them. You watch me on TV, on my Sunday morning videos. Those suits have come back into style. I just don't want to... I don't feel like going to buy suits. I wear blue jeans most of the time. See, I don't... I'm trying to make a point. Maybe you get it.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Now, this is the third hour of Advice Line, and I want trying to make the point of the power of deception, how easy you can be deceived and how easily you can be manipulated and controlled. And if you have frustrations and if anxieties and fears, you've been had. Because had you not been confused and confounded and somehow broken and demoralized in some way, you would be a perfect person. Meaning no drugs, no alcohol, you're just living a good life. And a fulfilling life. You'd found what your purpose is and you're doing it, just like I have found my purpose and I'm doing it. And I'm that's where my fulfillment comes from. I don't write my own story. I don't write my own story. My story, all I have to do is help a lady cross the street in a proper way and not feel important doing it. That's it, something like that. You get the issue, and then I'm fulfilling. I'm moving from one thing to another, and the story is taking shape, and I can't see much of the story, but when I look back, it's a movie. Okay, now let's take our first call. Jennifer in New York. Hello, Jennifer.
Hello.
Hello, that's a nice, it surprised me.
Can you hear me okay?
I can, I certainly can.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering if we could talk about the pain of withdrawal a little bit.
Okay.
I've been meditating for about 10 months or so.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, I started to let go of distractions. And
yeah, that's good.
It is.
How old are you?
38.
Okay. It's about time you start letting things go and finding the fulfillment, not the foolfulment, you know, the foolishfulfillment.
Right. Yes, it feels good. You know, letting go of, it could be anything. I didn't even realize how many of these distractions or pleasures I had.
Ah, yes.
But what's underneath it now is that feeling, that pain, that kind of just sits there.
Is it anxiety?
I think so.
It's anxiety? Does it talk to you?
Yeah, sometimes.
What does it say?
It mostly, the thoughts in my mind mostly talk about scenarios.
Such as?
And planning things out.
You don't want to do that?
Yeah.
You don't want to plan your own life. Your life, you are created to fulfill a plan of God's heaven on earth. And if for some reason, and most of us have such a reason, we are torn away from our innocence when we're young.
Right.
and we get educated and miseducated and that kind of thing, then you get lost and you've lost your fulfillment. But desire to be have fulfillment and purpose has to then become created by what you
and you cannot
possibly know what the will of the Creator is for you. If you choose what it is and how you to go about it and how you're going to figure it out, it's not for him at all. It's all for you.
Right. So, like, I know that logically.
I understand that. I understand that.
I think too that I've somehow became an appeaser in my life.
And that's not good.
No. And but I'm getting stronger. I feel it.
And how do you get stronger from being an appeaser? How do you get stronger? By not appeasing, by speaking up.
Yeah.
Say, excuse me, is my eye hurting your elbow? Something like that.
Yeah, no, speaking up more, advocating for my family.
Yes.
Speaking up when things don't, you know, people don't do what's best for my kids or things like that.
Yeah.
And it feels great. But
well, you see, you don't look for the feeling.
No, I mean, what I mean is
that, I know what you mean by that, but I just want
it
for the first worth the comment.
Be trapped in that.
Yes, that's right.
But, you know, with that also comes people not agreeing with you. And I think that the old me that's still in there is afraid of that.
So you are recognized an old you.
Oh, yeah.
But the old you isn't you. So it can die. You want the old you to fade away and die and melt.
Right, right. Yeah, in a lot of ways, I don't even recognize my old self.
Yes, you see, it's your emotional state has created a substitute, an artificial you, and that makes you think it's you. And it wants things. It wants purpose and stuff like that, it makes you feel like you want it. Mm-hmm. And when you do it, you've got a problem. It tells you that you have to figure when you see your fault, it will tell you you have to do better than that. Yes, you're guilty. You see the guilt, but you mistake what lights the guilt up. You mistake what it means, because the word is a wordless thing. It will show you in a wordless way how to deal with it. The word, the old you, jumps in and say you have to try harder to be a better person.
Right.
And that's a lie.
Right.
That's dangerous because you don't know what better is.
It always feels the best when I recognize when I failed, but I just accept it.
Exactly. But not accept it. Recognize that, yes, you see it, and you're happy. Let me see if we can fill this up and make it clear.
Okay.
To recognize what the problem is, say you're angry.
Right.
And you're resentful. And you're judgmental. Okay.
Yes, that's
okay. And so you see that. Mm-hmm. As I never saw that before. And maybe you see it about a person, you never saw it before, you thought it was your friend, but you're secretly judging him. And you never saw that before, but you were befriending them to get rid of the pain of the judgment, because the pain of judgment has caused guilt, and guilt makes you nicer to them then, and they like you back. And
right.
that kills the reality of what you were looking at. But all of a sudden, when you meditate, you see that your relationship with your friend isn't that real.
Right.
And then, and that's a good thing. It's a good thing. And you could, if you want to mention it to your friend and say, you know what, I think I've been doing this to you. And maybe they may have, I don't know how to say this. I remember a person who, let's see if I can explain something simpler. There was a person who came to my house to do a plumbing job, and he did the job, but I saw that he was doing not a very good job at all. And so I began to resent him just a little bit, and then I realized I was resenting him, so I went up to him and said, I just want to apologize to you. He said, what for? He said, because you don't seem to be doing a very good job. And this is clear to me, but I shouldn't be resenting you. I just want to apologize for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
See, simple. You see it. I took care of it. And whether he likes me or not doesn't matter. I've done the right thing. That's
right.
It. And maybe he charges me too much, and maybe he doesn't. Maybe he wants to walk out and leave the job unfinished. That's all right, too. I just need to say it to him and not wait until he's finished, just to say, mm-hmm. If the time says, if it's timing, if the good Lord says you've got to do it now, he doesn't talk to you, you've got to do it now. It's just intuitive. You know when to do it, and it always works out right. It's a very difficult thing to describe. The natural way that God gives you is almost like an instinct that cannot be learned.
I know what you mean.
It's hard to express it. I know what I know without knowing why I know it. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the timing. I know when I shouldn't. And then all of a sudden I find myself blurting out something when I least expected to say it. And then I hear my own voice saying things I never said before.
Mm-hmm.
Never thought before. But then my voice, the situation becomes so much better, and I feel better, that I actually, as I've spoken and acted out that part that God is playing through me, I'm teaching myself, my mouth is teaching my ears about how things work. I'm beginning to understand the machinery of my own mind,
mm-hmm.
where I couldn't understand that before if I held back. I see the outcome different.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I just said the outcome is completely different as when you try to plan it for yourself,
yeah.
When you should speak or should you speak.
When my mind wants to plan things out too, it like gives me a headache.
Yes, exactly so.
I can tell it's just not doing anything good.
That's right. It's because you're trying to figure out something that your monkey brain is not capable of.
Right.
If you'll pardon the expression when I call your monkey brain, because it's not much different from a monkey. If you could put Einstein's spirit in a monkey, he probably could do his thing. it's not your brain that really does it. It isn't all the intellectual knowledge of memory you put. Memory dies, you know. When you die, you know, memory is not permanent. What is permanent is intuition, the intuitive self that you've trusted, and the intuitive light within you shapes you in his image.
Mm-hmm.
So while you're in the flesh, you melt what was there before.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't serve two masters. You can only respond to one within you, or the one that's with the spoken word outside you. Your danger is the spoken word and talking to yourself and talking to others.
Okay.
When you just sit quietly and you want to answer a question, and even if you ask a person a question, how do I do this? You'll be able to see if it's right or wrong. But where otherwise you might actually be deceived by the answer. So even asking people and talking about things and which are full of words, you can actually see where the words are real or whether they're deceitful. You begin to see everything, and you don't know why you see it and how you see it, but you just know it. And you are naturally protected without any effort on your own part.
Mm-hmm.
That is the ideal.
I remember feeling that way when I was a lot younger.
I know, you've got further away from it when you got older, that's why.
Oh, definitely. I remember being carefree, just like my kids are.
Yes, that's how you should be. I am that way, just like my kids are. You know, my grandchildren love me for that reason. They don't think of me as a grandpa, they do, like I'm a grandpa friend. I have a little kid inside me like them. And it's kind of cute between them because they see that. And they play with me. And they trust me and respect me and do as I tell them, I suggest to them. Oh, yes, the number, if you'd like to join in the conversation, is 800-866-8883. And we'll be giving a lecture. Well, not a lecture. It's a seminar. And a seminar in Los Angeles, it's the Sunday, July 5th, 2015. So just make sure that this program, when I've kicked the bucket, it won't go there and when I'm not there. But please, God, I'll be there, God willing. And it's called The Hypnosis of Life, which is a favorite title. And I've always called my seminars, nearly always, up to just recently, the last couple of times, Hypnosis of Life, because that's what you're being deceived. Life deceives you. People deceive you. People deceive themselves. They make lies to themselves. They make excuses to themselves, etc., etc. So the subtitle is How to Compel Stress to Make You Better. I'll show you how to use the stress to make you better where it was making you sick. And you'll frustrate a lot of people and you lose a lot of friends, but you get a lot of better ones. You drive away the ones that you did that are really enemies, but you thought they were friends. Everything changes. Do you understand, Jennifer, what I'm saying now to the people out there? You will actually lose some friends because when your friends that are fiends and they're feeding you a sense of worth and they look like a friendship, when it's a fiendship, you can't tell it isn't real. You can't see it.
Right.
But if you are intuitive, you drive away the person or you sting them accidentally. You sting them if they're up to something no good. You don't have to know what it is, but they sense that you do and they cringe and they tend to want to move away.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to lose those friends because it's harmful to you.
I think that at some point in my life I became really dependent on that feeling a friendship gives you.
That's fiendship.
Yeah, and to the point where I couldn't speak up at all. Even if I saw, didn't agree with something that was going on.
I know you didn't say anything because you don't want to lose your friend.
Right.
That's the sense of worth you get from them. See, that's right.
And I knew that it wasn't right, but I almost felt suffocated. I mean, what do you call it when you can't open your mouth?
Oh, I know. It's a compulsive.
Yeah, and but that's changing, and it.
Don't you love it? Don't you?
It does.
Love
it feels great.
You make. Yeah, I can drink to that.
I feel like I'm becoming my person again.
Yes, you were in your little child, becoming as a little child again. Can you hear the little child in me sometimes?
Yeah.
Even though I'm strong and forceful sometimes and rowdy.
But I kind of like that, though.
You do?
I mean, yeah, because sometimes, the strength of voice is sometimes what I think people need to hear.
You know, you bring up a very, very, very interesting point. So now let's stop there for a minute. Would you like to and just discuss that for a minute? See, there's two kinds of strong voices. One is impatient, and one is patient. Johnny, it's time to go to bed. Dad, I'm just doing my jigsaw puzzle. Can I stay 5 minutes? Okay, 5 minutes. Johnny, time to go to bed. Dad, can I have another five? No. Okay, I'll give you 5 more minutes. Then all of a sudden he thinks he's got me. So he says, no, I want to finish this. I said, no, you got to go to bed. Go to bed now. Up. And the strong voice is a good voice. It's the obedience to the spirit of the man, his patient, enduring his son or daughter. But the person who's angry has a different kind of voice. Go to bed. I can't imitate that. I don't know how to imitate, but you know what I'm talking about. It's not the same voice.
I definitely do.
So one voice, so the voice that you hear me have will neutralize the effect that the voice of the impatient father has in his life. And that is what makes people, help people on this program. Because I'm speaking this way without any anger. And I'm talking to that voice that once created itself inside you. And I'm talking to that voice so that you obey that which is within me. And you appreciate it because you recognize it and therefore can accept it within yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can definitely tell the difference.
Yes.
Because one feels, I can tell, what the strong tone, I can tell when one is a caring one, and I can tell when one is an angry one. Not in you, but
there's a beautiful movie out. I didn't think that they would put it out, because I actually had a brief seeing of it before it went on the screen. But there's a movie called Black and White, and it's a movie you must see. It's roughly this, and the reason why I love to talk about the movie, it's only for one thing only, really mainly for one thing. I'm going to tell you what it is, and I'm not sure if I can act it out as well as the actors, but it's a grandpa and his black granddaughter. His daughter was killed in an accident, and this is this daughter is illegitimate child from a black donor, friend, you see. But he loves this little girl. He loves this black little girl, and the little girl loves him. That's why the movie's called Black and White. It's a really beautiful movie. And so he says to the little girl in the movie, you need to brush your teeth. And she says, my mother tell me to brush my teeth. You haven't asked me to brush my teeth. I said, okay, brush your teeth. He says, no. She says, say it like you mean it. And that was so beautiful. And he says, oh, go brush your teeth. Thank you. You know, I can't imitate that.
I know, but exactly what you mean.
You know what I mean, don't you? And she said, that's better. She says, that's better. And she goes and brushes her teeth.
I loved, I think every child longs for that.
Yes.
I know that I would, if I could go back to childhood.
I'm going back to, I'm old, I'm 87. I'm just a kid inside. I have fun. I do magic tricks for my everybody. I'm very good at sleight of hand. I do so good at it that they have to tell them that it's not really magic.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of fun. I don't know how to explain myself. It's just like I'm one of the kids, and they see it.
I know, that's nice.
They see a big grandpa wrapped around it.
It seems rare these days.
It is rare.
Yeah.
And if we could find that those men and teach them how to be men, and to love the hell out of their wives instead of embracing the hell in them, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You see, a man doesn't need...
I definitely love that strong male voice. That's the sense of reason when... I mean, I feel like a lot of times I make really good choices, but sometimes I fail or I lose my...
But it means, does it mean you're not married yet?
I am married.
You are married?
I am married.
You have children?
Yeah, I have two children.
How does your husband deal with them?
Good.
He's good. He's got a nice voice.
He's a very patient person.
And you're a happy camper.
Yeah, no, that's really good. That's really good.
So with what you're learning, from meditation, you're going to be happier.
Yeah.
And so are the kids.
Oh, definitely.
They're all going to feel your touch.
Now that... I'm getting better. Definitely, I can see it in my children.
Yeah, when you're getting better, you have less influence on your children, and your husband has more influence. And it's the father that decides, the nature of the female and the male. It's not the if it's the woman, it's a real mess.
Can you say that again?
But yeah, in other words, the father, in a perfect state, in the proper state of mind, is the father that decides the fate of the children.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a good father, the little girl will look for the father she knew. If it's a bad father, that gets disrupted and unconsciously she looks for a father, a man that she can turn into a father. But a woman can't make a man into a man that isn't a man, and she's got problems. See that? And then she marries a man that isn't a man, he's weak for her or too mean to her. And after a while, the children get influenced by her too much because there's no man. I know that Jennifer will bear with me just for a moment. We got to please continue to support our radio program with your tax-deductible donations. In addition to that, if you don't mind me saying so, I have to raise money, and I'm doing so by giving a seminar, The Hypnosis of Life, Sunday, July the 5th, all day, at the Concourse Hotel at Los Angeles Airport. The name of the seminar is The Hypnosis of Life, the one I've been giving all these years, hundreds of times over the years. And it's always the same way because life is hypnotic, I'm sorry to say. And as in a in that disturbed state, you do not realize the harm is being done to you. And if you are aware of the harm being done to you, there's nothing you can do. You simply stuff it down and it makes you sick, or you pass it on to your children. You cannot help it. There's no way you can stop it. That's the reason why what's wrong with America today. It's everywhere's chaos. Everywhere's chaos. You know, it's sort of in covered up. So what you see in people is not what you really get. So I'm sorry to say. So because you see the rate of divorce, no-fault divorce, it's like 70-80% of kids don't have fathers. And those are essential to have fathers. Essential. Because the line of God comes through the men, if they're men. If not, they're just, people who just want, men who just want sex and pleasure and looking for approval from a woman and just use her. They're not much different from, from the people in the Middle East who they just use their women and then do what they want with them. It's the same thing, but you can't do what you want with them. And then they can do what they want with you. If they get the tables turned here in freedom. So we're not free here because we don't know how to love each other properly. And the whole thing is what does love, is love isn't falling in love with a lady. No, love is something very special. And that's what I'm trying to get people to understand, that what love really is, it's not self-centered, it's God-centered. And you may think you have God-centered, you might think you have God-centered in you, but because you're godly and you're nice and you're friendly, but the tendency is to make you to put people on a pedestal or get people to like you, and then you become addicted to their approval, and it's a game of who plays God, and who gets to control who, as a result of that, and your politics reflect this. You see, so that's the reason why I like talking to people, and I'm going to go back to Jennifer now in New York, and I want to give you my office number if you want to be the first to get the tickets. It's the phone number is 800-877-3227, 800-877-3227, and my office, that's my office number. What else do you? Yeah, website, yes. Thank you very much. I hear in my ear my producer telling me. Website is fhu.com, Foundation of Human Understanding. And while you're there, check the meditation, 7-minute meditation. It is no cost. Just give it a try and see what happens to you next day or the next few minutes. Just see that the secret I've found is it is so simple, it's hard to believe that something like this can take you straight to God. I mean that. If well, we got Jennifer, and the lines are open if you want to call in. But I'm enjoying Jennifer because just what the doctor ordered for me, because she brings up intelligent questions and subjects, and I can comment on them, and that's what's good for me for you to call, discuss something with me, and I hear you say something, and then I can make something of it you never thought was there. Am I right, Jennifer? Is this what I'm doing with you, isn't
it? Actually, I have another question.
Okay.
It's about guilt. And I was wondering, does guilt have a feeling, or is it just like a force that makes you act?
Well, it makes you act how?
Like, meaning like when you feel guilt, it makes you do an action, right?
Such as what? What do you do?
So like, let's just say you feel bad because you really resent somebody secretly, and so then you find yourself being too nice to them.
Okay, so now...
I guess I consider that an action.
Did I not talk to you about the plumber just a little while ago?
Yes.
Yeah, but it's just something similar to that. So why don't you see that, I see, I'm resenting my friend, and I'm being too nice to them, and they like me, so they don't know I hate them, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you feel uncomfortable with that, so you should feel uncomfortable. So now you're meditating.
Right.
You are bringing a new element, if I may use the name of the Lord in vain a little bit. He's not really an element, but is an essence of something. It's essence of something that's beautiful that can make something ugly beautiful. What you've got there is something ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Judgment, right? And judgment is mine, saith the Lord.
Yeah.
And so therefore you have conflict with your Creator. So, but now with meditation and you giving yourself to your Creator, this is what's happening, is what's freeing you from all these problems you've had,
right?
His anxieties and things that starting to leave you that wasn't good for you to have. So what starts to happen is you sense the guilt, you realize you're happy to see it, but you don't know what to do about it, but you know you should. That's all.
Right.
You know you should, and then the guilt tends to go away. But that doesn't mean to say the problem's solved yet. It means all of a sudden, let's say a couple of days go past, maybe a week goes by, and you're talking to this friend, and the problem's still there, but you've acknowledged it, but you don't know what to do, and you don't know, neither do you know when to do it if you did know it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the situation. All of a sudden, your mouth opens and closes, and you hear your mouth talks by itself, as if it was coming from you, say, Jody, you must excuse me, I have to apologize to you. What do you mean, apologize? Well, it's something, you know, it's unpleasant for me. I'm sorry about it. What are you sorry about? I've been resenting you and judging you. You didn't know that, did you? Looking for your approval. Damned if I get it, and damned if I feel like I felt like a slave.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not your fault. It's my fault. I just have to share it with you because that's what I'm judging you. That's not good. That's not good for me. It's not good for you. It's not good for you to be my friend even. And she'll look at you and say, I'm only saying it more than you might have said it,
mm-hmm.
for the sake of the audience. But you might have said it completely different, but it will come out the way it will, and the timing, you won't. You know when you get mad,
mm-hmm.
and you do something, you don't expect to do it, right?
Right.
You do it and you think it's right. It isn't. Well, it's like being mad, but you're not mad. You're expressing sanity, and it's beautiful.
Hmm.
It doesn't accost that person,
mm-hmm.
and it shows the beauty of your honesty to that person. And they may have something they say, this is really nice. It's like a relief to them that you are such a good example. They may say, you know what? You know, well, I got little problems too, and you'd be having a nice conversation. You'd be surprised you did. You'd have a conversation like you're having a conversation with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of us just don't talk to each other like this. We talk together.
Right.
And so you start the process of talking like that, and pretty soon she'll talk back to you. You know, my problem is this. How would you help me with it? This is what will happen. You start to help each other.
Right.
You'd be on it, and you start to share each other's woes. And the little phantoms of the mind, and all the little machinery, the mind that you never knew about each other, and they never knew about yourself. This is what my family does. We talk about these things, our conversations. Sometimes we laugh, sometimes we cry. Mostly we laugh. Mostly we love it away. All right, now, Jennifer, what do you think? Did I answer your question fair?
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, I'm good.
Yeah. So in other words, it's, you know, if you, I have an old saying, And I've invented it, but you have to think of it just for a minute. This is what I say to people. If you do nothing right, you do nothing wrong. And people will say, what do you mean by that? If you do nothing right, you'll do nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
If you sit quietly, do nothing. Be still and know. And then he fills you with what you are about to do.
Mm-hmm.
Whereby, if you're angry, you get filled with the opposite side. The darker side creeps in and plays the same role, but backwards.
It does. It's a very heavy feeling.
Yes, it is. Yeah. So you'll be lighthearted like I am.
That sounds good.
That's all.
Well, thank you so much.
If people love you, they love you. If they don't like you, that's, but you did the right thing.
Right. Yeah.
So you don't have to be popular.
Hold fast to that.
Yes, hold fast to it. Okay.
Well, thank you.
Have a good life.
Okay.
What a nice talk. Wish there were more people like that. Oh, well, what else here? Well, what can I say more to that? We're almost finished now with this 3 hours. The 3 hours goes past very quickly when you have nice people to talk with. Anybody else wants to mosey in? 800-866-8883. I want to read you just a paragraph of one of my books here. This one is Hypnotic States of Americans, I think it is, yes. And it's, let me see, it's page 207 in this one, with the old version. I've got new versions of it too. So everywhere you look, it's called The Power of Deception. I started to read this, but I just got carried away with what was coming through me. But I just wanted to see what I wrote 47 years ago. Everywhere you look, people are confusing one another and generally driving everybody mad. Parents do it to children, governments do it to people, business, religion, medicine, all do it, each in its own unique style. Your friends make you doubt yourself, and so do your enemies. And what's more, yes, you do it to others, as was done to you, and probably you do not see it when it's happening, because you find pleasure in getting away with it. What a proud peacock you are after you've impressed somebody with your knowledge and knocked him down and built yourself up. You know, if you have an education and you make a person feel small by how much education you have and envious, and that's you're hurting somebody. You really are. You wouldn't hurt me. But the point is, it's the way you can actually be as proud as a peacock and make people envious and look up to you. I don't want you to look up to me. I don't want you to look up to me and think of me anything as anything but mortal, but just spiritual, with a gift. We all have that gift. I have a gift of giving it, and you have the gift of understanding it. Now, some of you might not like it because you'd be like ISIS. You see, I couldn't do this Hitler Germany when I'm Jewish. And on the other hand, you know, it'll be truthful. And so if I wasn't Jewish and I spoke like this in Hitler Germany, he certainly wouldn't want people to know how he's manipulating them, am I correct? See? And so just to pinpoint it and to condense it into a very simple thing, what is done to you, I've said this many times on the program before, but not everybody hears this, but it is a condensation of the whole problem. A person who wants to control a lot of people, who has the meanness or the gumption to do it, if you can call it that, well, like a gang leader, has a certain way about them that can upset the gang followers, upset them, have a certain strength about them. And enough to perhaps convert a person from being an ordinary person into one of the gangs. And all he has to do is to create a following, is find a person who has some kind of need for a family and kind of lost, and either be nice to him or mean to him. Let's take the mean way. he's cruel to him, and he upsets him, and punishes him for standing up for himself, until he yields to the will of the gang leader. And he does this continuously to all the gang members, so that every time they have a meeting, he's very strong. He may hit somebody or shoot somebody just for the hell of it to frighten the rest. And the others get paralyzed instead of getting together and killing the gang leader. The gang leader can take someone and shoot them just like that, and to shock them into paralysis. So the whole gang simply has more respect and give more of themselves to the leader. He's so bold, so brave, and he puts more of himself into the whole gang. That's what Hitler did. He do things that are outrageous, just like you see it in a movie. Every now and then you see this in a movie where somebody doesn't quite do the right thing and doesn't finish the job, bang, bang, just like that. And everybody stands back and, you know, and kicks the body. And he carries on like nothing happened. It's courage, brutality, that shocks the system of the lesser members. And that the whole gang is subject to him. The whole gang could take gang up and kill him. But they won't, because they've become a little bit like him. See? So by that, something of him gets inside every one of the followers. More. In other words, his identity is like Hitler. One man can control a whole country. How is that? Well, this is how it's happening. All you have to do is you have your own gang. You don't you think I couldn't do this? I know how to do it. I never want to do it. That's why I'm exposing it to you, to show you how you can't speak up to someone who is violating you, because the violator gets inside you and displaces the real you for him or her. And it cries out to the bully. The person has the guts to do that too, if you can say guts. I don't mean to say it's noble or anything. It's not that kind of guts. But you see, the fact that they respond to that, to the authority, with fear. So if it's 10 people are there, 100 people are there, they'll all be shocked. If you have the courage, especially if you have a larger and larger number who've accepted it. And you can get them to do what you do to others, innocent ones, and you reward them for it. You do understand what I was saying, don't you? That I'm explaining to you that if you do unto others, then you can get that other person. First of all, you can do unto others and they will do unto you automatically. You can do unto others, you can hurt them, and they can turn around and hurt somebody else, and you can reward him for that. Yeah, it's neat what you did. You're rewarding him. Or you're punishing him for not doing what you should do the way he did it to you. Because already a identity is being formed that is the extension of the bully. And so, but some by nature and by innate anger already there for the world around them, and people having become a victim himself, finds himself pleasuring in victimizing somebody. And he's got the gang leader who will give him a gun and give him some money and give him a position of importance in the gang just for doing somebody in, just for shooting somebody, just like, see, and then he's in. But it's what it begins to be a what one thinks, all think. Hitler, Germany did the same thing. Violence, you got violent people. He found all the people are angry and people. There's a word I was looking for, malcontented people, emotional problems, mental problems, angry problems, and he fires them up. He rewards their behavior, and he's ruthless, more ruthless than they are, ruthless with them. They like it. because it gives something of the nature of the bully into them in exchange for a slavery to the bully, which looks like love to look, which like loyalty and love to the bully. And you can create a whole chain of command that way. This country is being done this way. This country is being done this way. And you see all these thousands of people burning down cities. And you can see more of that because the bully is in high places. And he can set those things in motion and reward those who are wicked. Reward those who will go on a rampage and burn down a city and look the other way. See? Your country is in very deep water. Program number is K8253. I'm Roy Masters. This is the third hour. And I should be tired if I'm not. And I was saying everywhere you look, I'm reading a little bit from the book, and the Hypnotic States of Americans. Everywhere you look, people are confounding and confusing each other, driving each other nuts. Actually mad. Parents do it to children, governments do it to the people, business, religion, medicine, all do it, and each in their own unique style. But it's the same thing. There's those of you who can't speak up and those of you who can't stop speaking up and degrading somebody so they can't speak up. And then the person who can't speak up will turn around and do it, and some are weaker than themselves or not, or just stay there and be a slave and be an enabler to the bully. And that's what you got in America. And you got it in your family. It's everywhere. You got a sister that does it to you, an older sister, whatever it is. It's there. And you're part of it. And as long as you're part of it, the country's finished. Now I see it everywhere. See, then you get the ones who are very good at it, and you reward the government. As a government, you reward them. You reward them with iPhones and money, and you pay them for their vote. See, by welfare and other gifts, you form a big government, because the bigger the government. You know, then, even though they're not on welfare, they're getting paid by the government twice as much as you're paying from your taxes. So naturally, they feel that they owe their life to their benefit. I can't find the word to the giver, the one who gives them the benefit. Lost the word, but you understand what I mean. Owe their life. If I give you something with the secret desire to get you to do what I want, and you sense it, but you take the gift, and if you don't sense it, but I mean to use it against you, I gave you this, now you have to do that for me, and if you have that proclivity, I can make you do what I want. That's a hypnotic state. To take money from me, or for me to give you a gift, and you feel the pull or don't feel the pull. If you're just naive enough to think that you haven't seen the kind of person I am, because you're kind of lost, so you think that I love you and I don't, and I'm kind to you and I'm giving you something, then you will find yourself bonded to me, and you don't have to be a hypnotist. You feel the obligation to do it, and you don't know what to do. When the time comes, you will do it. You don't want to hurt his feelings. You have to give back. You never stop giving back and giving of yourself. You never will. So now, how do you become a real person? How does Pinocchio become a real boy? He stands up, he does the right thing. And he stands up not worrying about what people think. And he waits for the time. He looks for the dishonesty. He says no to the person. No, thank you. I don't need that. You'll have an awareness. When you are equipped with salvation essence, then you can see people that will do this, and you can say no to them. Or you can turn the tables on them if you want to, and take the gift, as long as you're not dealing with the mafia. See, then they'll kill you. But not that you'd want to do it, but let me make it a point. You can take the gift, and when the time comes when you know that he feels like he's got you and you haven't. He said, well, I gave you that. I said, I thought you did give it to me. Thank you. It was very nice of you. And you just put him in a rut. Later on, you can say, here, take your damn thing if you want to. Or you can play it. It's up to you. I don't like to play it. I'm just talking to you how you could be manipulated. And herein, towards the end of the program, I just want to tell you the story of Gabby. She's a little girl, 7 years old. I think she's 9 now. And when she called me, she says, Grandpa, I'm not a grandpa, but we know the family. She calls me on the radio. She always likes to call on the radio. And this will clinch it for you. She says, my grandmother wants to give me all these presents. Is it all right, you know, for me to take, to say no to it? And I said, do you feel a pull? She says, yes, Grandpa, I feel a pull. I said, you are being deceived. You are being manipulated. And so, do you understand that? She says, yes, I do. I feel the pull. I don't know what it is. I said, that is your warning. That's God talking to you without feelings, without words. And you can, yes, you can. But now you want verification? Yes. Can you stand up to your mother if she gets angry? Grandmother, if your grandmother throws everything in the garbage can and runs away and screams at you, can you stand that without being angry? Yes, Grandpa, I can do it. Are you sure? Then say no. And that's exactly what she did. And mother threw grandmother these junk things she was giving to her all the time. And she threw them in the garbage can and ran. I know this grandmother. She's wicked. I've known her because she allowed her husband, not a real husband, to molest the daughter of this little kid. So I've known them for 40 years. And so this little kid comes into the world. And she always sends it to me. So if I said, oh, don't hurt your mother and grandmother's feelings, she just wants to be nice to you, I would have ruined her. That's the difference between life and death. You know the difference, and as a cultural person, you would probably say to you, if it's the grandma that I'm talking about, if you were just a product of culture, you would say, don't hurt your mother, grandmother's feelings, and you'd ruin that child's life just by saying that, making her doubt herself. Doubt the pull. The pull is temptation. And I see the pulls all the time. I see the pushes, and I'm safe from them.
Your heart last night, it's because I love you most of all.
Would you like to come to my seminar? Los Angeles seminar, Sunday, July 5th. July 4th, you could be with your friends, and 5th, you could be with me. It's the Concourse Hotel at Los Angeles Airport on Century Boulevard, right next to the airport. You can walk right from the airplane practically onto the, depending on the flight. And that is, you call my office for tickets. We are over 600 people. We've got 600 seats. And call my office, 800-877-3227. Monday through Friday. Thank you very much. And this program will refeed itself if you want to have your friends listen. This program reveals itself. You go to my website and listen to Roy Live or listen to Roy Archive, FHU.com.